Are you ready to take your gardening game to the next level this year? If you're anything like my husband and me, you've been getting your hands dirty in the garden, learning the ropes, and dreaming of a bountiful harvest. Well, let me tell you about Coast of Maine Planting Soil, our secret weapon for a thriving garden. Everything grown in Coast of Maine soil is organic and safe for your family and friends right out of the garden. Their living soils are carefully crafted to enhance soil structure, provide essential nutrients, and promote robust plant growth. With a diverse portfolio of products for all your gardening needs, they're rooted in sustainable practices and a commitment to organic excellence. Coast of Maine believes in nurturing relationships with local retailers. The products are carried by local retail partners who can provide advice and insight not found in big box stores. Coast of Maine knows from beginner to expert, anyone who takes a hand to the land has something to offer the growing community of gardeners everywhere. Their products make organic gardening simple, approachable gardening for everyone. So let's get growing. Visit coastofmaine.com to find a local retailer near you. Coast of Maine, like the state with an E.com.
Hello and welcome to the Minimalist Moms podcast. I'm Diane. I'm a mother of three living in Columbus, Ohio. I'm trying to make room in my life for what matters by getting rid of the clutter and living life with purpose. I hope you'll join me on the journey to think more and do with less. In this day and age, it can be difficult to truly feel present in motherhood. We have so many roles we're juggling, schedules to manage, self-care to maintain, not to mention remembering little details such as what to add to the grocery store list or that school pickup is early on Friday. How do we manage presence when it feels like we're pulled in all these various ways? Joining me today to talk through this topic is author Sarah Bragg. Sarah wrote a book on this topic and more in her recently released book, A Mother's Guide to Raising Herself. However, today we're going to really focus on how to cultivate presence. How can we challenge ourselves to be more present in the moment without needing to document everything on social media? How can we be more present as mothers, as wives, as friends? And how can we teach our children to cultivate presence in their own lives? But before we get to the conversation, I wanted to encourage you to leave a rating and review if you haven't done so yet. It appears as though we're about 31 away from 600 reviews on iTunes. I'd really love to hit that 600 number by the end of the year, which I don't want to necessarily say that's a goal, but it is a goal. So if you haven't left a rating yet, I would so love for you to do that. It shouldn't take more than 30 seconds. All right, now for a quick story of just what's been going on with me throughout this past week. So let's start back. Today's Tuesday when this is airing. Let's start back about a week ago. It was Monday night and I had been chatting with a friend about just feeling somewhat restless, just restless in our home and restless in this community. Even though I love my home and I love my community, I was just like, oh, I kind of want land at some point and I don't know, but I doubt my husband would ever be on board with it. And she's like, oh, why don't you start praying about that? And why don't you start talking to him about your desires? So I was like, yes, I'm going to do that. The next day I'm on Facebook and a friend of mine that's a realtor posts this house that I would describe as my ultimate dream house. It was a little red house. And if you know me, I love little red homes. So I sent it to my husband and I was like, oh my gosh, I would move into this tomorrow. And he messaged me back and said, let's go look at it. That honestly blew me away right then and there because I had no idea that he'd even be willing to look. So I called up my friend. We scheduled a showing for the following night. We were able to make it out there. My husband described the home as majestic, which I would say accurately describes this property. And we both walked away saying, let's make an offer. That did seem overwhelming to me because it is a little bit of a distance from Columbus, but I was like, okay, you know what? Maybe this is our next step in life. Maybe this is the next door we walk through. Let's do this. So we contacted my husband's grandma, who's a realtor. She wrote up an offer for us and then we sat on it and we went back and forth for several hours just contemplating, are we doing the right thing? Is this rushed? I felt like just so many doors had been opening and it felt right. But also, I really love our house and I wasn't feeling like I necessarily wanted to move. It was just the home that was so amazing. And it really just felt like it was organically happening. We didn't seek it out. It wasn't something we thought was going to happen. So I think that there can be this little prompting in the back of your mind, like, yeah, you got this. It's in the bag. All that to say, When I found out that we didn't get the house, I was really crushed. And I didn't think I would be as crushed as I was because, like I said, I do love our home and there are elements to our community which I adore. But I had to get real with myself and say, why am I so disappointed? A home doesn't make the memories. It's the people in the home that make the memories. And my people are here. And that doesn't mean that a home can't add to your memories. I would love to have chickens at that property, and it would be great to have a second bathroom or for all my children to have their own rooms. But we are so comfortable with what we have now, and I think sometimes maybe these signs happen because they point you back to gratitude for what you do have. And I do think timing's everything, and it just wasn't the house for us, even though our fingers are still crossed that maybe it'll fall through and we will get it. But yeah, I know that this might not seem like it has to do with minimalism, but I do think it has to do with intentionality and intentional living and being grateful for the things that you do have. And it's okay to want more and it's okay to dream big, but remaining grateful for the things that you do have and you do get to experience, especially when I don't like to do this, and maybe this will get me into trouble here, but when comparing ourselves to what's going on in the rest of the world, we are so fortunate. It's easy to want in a culture of excess and consumerism, but again, it's not necessarily the way that most of the people on this planet live. So while I'm sad and I am allowing myself this time to be a little mournful, honestly, I just have to remember that timing's everything. My family is what makes our house amazing, and the memories we make here have no less value just because they aren't in a house that one would deem majestic. So that's my story for you this week. I hope that it helps you if you're thinking about moving, if you're feeling restless in your own home, if you're feeling like maybe you need to have these conversations with your spouse, and this prompts you to have those conversations with your spouse because maybe you're a lot more on board than you think you are. I'll not take any more time. So let's get into this conversation with Sarah Bragg. Sarah, thanks so much for joining me today on the Minimalist Moms podcast.
I am super happy to be here.
I want to know more about your story and get into your new book. So why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself to the listeners? And I want to know if you consider yourself to be a minimalist. Some people say they're more intentional living, but I want to hear your answer.
Oh, okay. Well, I am a mom of two girls, and we are full speed in middle school world. So I've got a girl going into middle school in sixth grade and one in her last year. So she's starting eighth grade. So that's Sinclair is my oldest and Rory is my youngest, and married to Scott. And we just turned our life upside down and moved from Atlanta to Tennessee about 6 months ago. That was probably a little bit on board for looking for a minimalist approach and a simple life. But I also host a podcast called Surviving Sarah, and I have such a heart to help women survive right where they are. So whether that is with their relationships, their self, their work, their faith, that is just where I spend a lot of my energy because I just want to be helpful and in that way with women. And so to your question about being a minimalist, I do feel like I have become more of a minimalist in the last, becoming a mom. Mm-hmm. And I think the beginning of it was out of survival. We moved a lot. We love change. So maybe that's the nature of it. But, you know, we moved, you know, in the early years of marriage, like from an apartment to a house. And then we moved from Atlanta back to Tennessee and then to Tennessee to Atlanta. And then within there, I feel like we've lived in like 8 or 9 houses in our like 16 years of marriage. And because of that, I just started getting rid of things, like going, okay, stripping things down. What do I really need? What do I really want? What do I really love? And so I do feel like I became a minimalist out of survival. And so now it's just kind of the way of life. But I think the bigger thing for me when I think of being a minimalist is actually just being mindful. I want my mind to be a minimalist mind, I guess, if that can be a thing. So much clutter in my head that was revealed to me through raising these kids was just how much shame and perfectionism and fear and inauthenticity were taking up residence in real estate in my mind. And I just kind of went on a path to really become more mindful and to declutter a lot of those thoughts. And so I do feel like I've become more minimalist in my thinking as well.
Yeah, no, that is totally a thing. And I always say that you have to get your mind to a place where you are, I guess, really intentional before you can start decluttering your own possessions. I really do think it starts there. So I think that is a thing, and I can see how it would be a survival element to moving, because I think we don't realize how much we have until we start moving and it's like, oh, I don't want to move all of this.
And then you think, am I going to continue taking this from like house to house? Like every time I move, I'm going to just box it up and take it. Nope, I'm not going to carry that box again.
No, for sure. Quick question before we get into your book. When I heard your name, I believe I've listened to your podcast in the past. And how long have you been doing that?
Oh, long time. I'm like a grandmother. I think I'm over 6 years now.
Okay. I thought so. Cause I have been listening to podcasts for probably 8, 9, 10 years. And then I started my own 6 years ago. And I think that yours was one of the ones I started listening to. Were you connected to, I want to say like Melanie Dale and that group of women?
Yeah.
Okay. I think that's why I knew your name.
Okay. Melanie and I used to do, we used to do monthly crossover episodes, the two of us, for maybe 1 or 2 years. We did that.
Okay. I used to listen to those. So that's why I knew.
I love it.
Familiar. How do I think it was more than just your podcast? I knew your podcast name, but yeah. Okay. Gotcha.
Yes.
Right. Well, veering, I'm like tangenting now, but you recently wrote a book. And it's called A Mother's Guide to Raising Herself. So before we get into the conversation, I just want to know what prompted you to write this one.
You know, I've always loved to write, but you tend to write what you know. And I feel like the last 13 years, I have just been learning a lot, learning through raising kids. And the biggest takeaway for me, and maybe it's part of midlife, you know, I'm in my 40s. And so there's also that coming into play with this. But when I look back at my early years of parenting and really over the last 13 years, so much of it was maybe surviving my kids, like thinking I was surviving my kids, but realizing that I was really kind of surviving myself because I was just so trying to fix or figure out or strategize, you know, behavior or strategize like how to do this. Like there's got to be a formula to this parenting thing, and realizing that there wasn't, and that so much of my life was just hard and I was making it hard. Like it was on me. And through all that, I started realizing really this is, gosh, it's less about raising my kids and trying to get them to a certain outcome. And it's really more about raising myself, that I was the one who really needed to grow up in a lot of ways to address those things that I mentioned early, like the fear and the inauthenticity and the perfectionism and the shame. Like I need to address all those things in me and grow a little bit. And so when I sat down to write, that's really what was coming out. That was what had filled my journals for years, was this process of growing up. And so I really feel like there's just so many women that were no different, you know, I mean, in that area where something hard comes along and if we allow it, it can be a really great catalyst for growth. And that's what raising kids really has been for me.
I feel like I've been confronted with that in my own life as well. Just one, I thought I was selfish when I got married and it was a reflection of like, oh, well, it's not just you anymore. And then after my first baby and then all the way to my third, every time I had a monumental, or I guess just one of those moments, I realized I had to die to myself a little bit more and put a little bit more priority, which is a good thing. And there is growth there. But then the other thing is with children, we have expectations for them, or we are trying to disciple them or to discipline them. And I would realize that I would be talking to my children a certain way or acting a certain way towards them with not wanting them to behave the way that I would behave.
Right.
And one of the things, this is so ridiculous, but I, for some reason, I was getting bad about wearing my seatbelt. Like I would remember halfway through my drive. I know that's horrible and that's a really embarrassing thing to admit, but my son, he hadn't been wearing his seatbelt. Like he was just throwing tantrums about it. And I remember just yelling at him every time we get in the car. I'm like, you need to put on your seatbelt. And then I looked in my rearview mirror and I'm like, oh, like you've been struggling with this exact same thing. And again, like that's a really dumb example because it just seems like second nature. You put on your seatbelt when you get into a car. But I was like, how can I critique him when I have been for some reason not wearing my own? So yeah, right. I think it's,
I mean, weird. That's exactly it. That's real. Yeah. That, I mean, there's so many things that I would do the same thing. I mean, even, you know, recently my daughter was talking about a friend situation, you know, middle school drama, and we're talking about it. And my advice to her was like, you know, it doesn't sound like that person, if you can't be yourself with that person, you know, maybe this is not a great friend for you. And I literally sat there and was like, gosh, am I being myself with the friend, the people that I call friend? Really, like every time I would speak something to my girls, it was like, oh, am I heeding that own advice? Or am I, what do I think about that for my own life? I think it is just so true across the board for all of us in that.
Mm-hmm. No, that's great. So going into our topic, we're going to be talking about being present in motherhood. How have you challenged yourself to just be more present in the moment with maybe not needing to document everything? And I think, again, it comes back to just living in the moment. But well, what do you think?
It is so hard. I think that we just need to state that right away. It is so hard to live in the moment when it comes to social media, because I feel like we all of a sudden we look up and we think, did it really happen if I didn't post about it? Like if people don't know that this happened, did it really happen? And we, you know, it's kind of a funny thing to think about, but it's very true. And so for me, you know, thinking about that, I realized that I was really struggling with being present because I was, well, I need to make sure people know that I did this. And one of the things that I started really thinking on was that not every moment needs to be a public moment. And I started thinking through that, and I started thinking through the lens of my girls being, you know, with each stage, like maybe when they're teenagers or, you know, now maybe when they're older in their 20s, you know, what am I documenting that is what I'm documenting helpful? Will this be weird? Is it like just ask, getting curious and asking those questions about things has helped me to decide whether this is a public thing or a private thing. You know, is this birthday moment? Do we really need to share it on social media, or is it, or not? I mean, maybe so. Like the answer, I think, is going to be different every single time, but giving yourself permission to just at least ask some questions about that, whether this you're going to feel like you're, you know, not present or you are. You know, another thing for me that's been helpful, and as your kids get older, you might feel the same way, is that now, you know, my oldest doesn't want me to post about her on social media. Mm-hmm. So that was a whole new thing, you know, and I'm going, well, gosh, I'm like a person who talks about parenting. you're my muse. Why can't I post about you? You know, but being mindful and respectful to what she wants, because it is her life. And so, you know, I ask permission before I post things about her. Like, so learning that way, I think even that helps you to go, am I just going to be here in this moment with my daughter and we're going to experience this thing? Like, she loves riding horses. Am I going to just be with her, or am I going to post about it? And again, there's kind of no right or wrong answer. It's being able to be fluid and flexible in the moment and figure that out. But one of the things that I've noticed a lot lately, and it was probably one of the early things that helped me realize I needed to think this through, of being present in the moment when it comes to what we post, is, have you ever been to like, we love baseball, so like a baseball game, mm-hmm. or, you know, a concert, some great experience, mm-hmm. and you just kind of look around and you see how many people are on their phones instead of taking in whatever it is. And I think it was one of those things where I was going, well, how silly is this? You know, I see people on the front behind home plate watching them, and they're just literally looking at their phone. And I'm going, you're missing what's right in front of you. Like, be present. Look at this amazing thing. Like, you're going to miss this cool opportunity. And I think just starting, maybe it's the practice of looking up and just going, just be here. Just be here. It's okay if you don't post about it. But I think a lot of us as moms feel that pressure that, if I don't post about it, it didn't happen. And if I don't post about it, I'm not a good enough mom because I didn't publicly praise my children or the school or the event or the, you know, we didn't do that. And I think just learning to ask myself and learning to, you know, if we can learn to ask ourselves, why do I want to do this? Can I not just be present? Is this a public or a private thing? And then just intentionally practicing, just looking up is kind of the approach that we should have with it.
I'm really glad that you said that because that was something that I've started to recognize as well. Mm-hmm. I have been noticing in videos that people will post or in photos that people will post, you look around and everyone is on their phone in the moment videoing it. And it's like, ooh, why are all these ugly cell phones out and yes. No one's enjoying the moment?
Yes. You miss their faces. Like you're literally just, you are seeing the world through a screen versus seeing it right there with your eyes without anything in between.
Yeah. And honestly, I know a lot of weddings these days, they'll say like, hey, put your phone away. We have a photographer that will take the photos. And I just think about that. I'm like, maybe someone could be the designated photo taker in these moments so that parents could just put their phone away. But even my daughter graduated from Safety Town last week and I did want a cute photo of her, but I put my phone down. I'm like, I don't need to videotape all of this. Are we even going to go back and watch? Yes. Does anyone actually really care on the internet that maybe they want to see a cute photo of her, but they don't need to watch the whole procession of individuals coming down. Like there is a fear of missing out in that, but I always talk about JOMO and just the joy of missing out. And it is getting that presence back and those moments back.
Yes. I know. And it's hard. I think that is, you know, okay. If we looked at my phone, there's like what, over 3,000 photos and videos on it. And that's just my phone. Let's not even talk about like what's on iCloud, you know? Yeah. And you're going, really, am I ever going to, like, if I really wanted to go and like minimalize and simplify my photos and go, what are we going to keep and what are we going to get rid of? I mean, that alone is enough to cause me to crawl under the table because that just feels overwhelming because there's just so much. And so because we are trying to, like what you said, like, do I really need the video of like this whole ceremony of her graduating from this thing? Take a couple of pictures, tuck it away, and you're good. That's really all you're going to want to need probably down the road.
Yeah, I totally agree. And the same goes for performances. Anytime I go to a concert, I guess this was pre-COVID, they're starting back up again. Mm-hmm. But
yes.
I'm just like, are you going to go back and rewatch this? And so I've stopped myself in the past probably like 5 years just because it's never going to sound as good on your phone as it did in person. And that isn't that why we're paying to hear live music? And it is a cool experience. But again, I can look up YouTube videos of probably that exact performance on stage. You know what I'm saying? So
right.
It's a tough thing. I really do think it just comes back to a huge wanting to put out there what the things are that we're doing and what we've done. Yes. Don't want to look like boring individuals or just everyone else is doing it. So it's easy to do it as well.
Right. I mean, I think that you saying that, that's the nail on the head. You know, we don't want to look like boring individuals who lead boring lives, but that's just, you know, not everything is like a high mountaintop moment. You know, sometimes life is just simple and not a lot going on and that's okay. Cause that's just normal life.
Yeah. I want to get into my next question, but the one thing I did want to mention, I have a girlfriend, she doesn't have kids, but her and her husband work for a huge video game company out in LA and neither of them have social media. And I just think about, I'm like, you guys are so connected to, I guess, the world of tech in a way. And yet you don't do this and they have really exciting lives, honestly. So I feel like there's so much freedom, honestly, in the way that she lives. And we went out for a bachelorette party the other night and she didn't have her phone out at all. And she was just totally living in the moment. And I don't know. I just think it's bizarre because I live my life in this realm and I think about the boundaries I want to put it on it myself. And like you said, kids getting older, it's important to respect them and what they want. So yeah, I don't know. I just wanted to mention that. I thought it was interesting.
Yeah, definitely the way to go, I think.
With Mother's Day around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift for your mom? Let me tell you more about mylifeinabook.com. Every week, mylifeinabook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions that you choose to ask. And mylifeinabook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. One of the challenges I face with being a minimalist is wanting to be as intentional as possible about the things that I am buying. I do understand that I live in a world where I can't completely avoid purchases. There are birthdays, there are holidays, there are the celebrations. But if I can be more intentional about gift giving, it's so important to me. I've had the experience to gift one to my mom, and being able to gift that to her seemed more significant than something that wasn't as sentimental to her. So if this sounds like a gift that you'd be interested in giving, check out mylifeinabook.com and use code MINIMALIST at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's mylifeinabook.com and use code MINIMALIST for 10% off today. This episode is sponsored by ByHeart. I'm so happy to partner with ByHeart because their goal is to create a future where all parents feel amazing about feeding their baby, no matter how they do it. Their mission is simple: make the best infant formula in the world. Let me tell you a little bit more. ByHeart's patented protein blend gets closest to breast milk by including the two most abundant proteins in breast milk, plus whole and partially broken down proteins for a nutritious blend that's gentle on tummies. ByHeart ran a clinical trial where they compared their formula to a leading infant formula, improved benefits like less spit up, easier digestion, and so much more. ByHeart is leading the ways in a lot of ways. They're the only U.S.-made infant formula to use organic, grass-fed, whole milk, not skim. It's the only new infant formula brand to add a comparison to breast milk in their clinical trial. And ByHeart is the first infant formula company to receive Clean Label Project's Purity Award. So are you curious about ByHeart? Redeem your welcome offer at byheart.com/podcast with code MINIMALIST for a limited time. Additional terms and conditions apply. For a lot of my listeners, I feel like they're on a journey to simplify their lives, but they don't want to sacrifice style, which I completely understand. And that's why I was excited to partner with Home Threads. Home Threads is the perfect blend of minimalism and comfort for your home. At HomeThreads.com, you can discover a curated collection of sleek and functional furniture that speaks to the heart of minimalist living, from multifunctional storage to timeless design. They have everything you need to create a clutter-free and serene space for your family. As most of you know, we've recently moved, and I'm not someone to just fill up a room so that it's done and decorated. I wanted to do this with intention, and so I searched out accent chairs on Home Threads and found the perfect mid-century modern chair that really complements my space. So embrace the beauty of less and elevate your home with purposeful pieces. Visit homethreads.com/minimalist and get a code for 15% off your first order. Home Threads, love where you live.
I want to talk more about being present in the moment, just in two other areas. I want to talk about it as wives and how we can be more present as someone's partner. And then as friend, you mentioned friendships and being your authentic self. And I want to talk more about what presence looks like there. So let's go with being a spouse, someone that's present in your marriage. What does that look like for you? And what advice do you have?
Okay. So this is probably I'm going to tell you the way that I am the worst at this. And so it's the thing that I'm working on, that I am a work in progress, but it's connected to what we're talking about with the phones. I will pull out my, I feel like I'm always multitasking, which is not great, but I'm always thinking ahead. I'm strategizing, like, you know, we as moms were thinking about, you know, if it gets to be nighttime, then I'm thinking about the next day for the kids. What's the schedule like? What's my work schedule like? What are we doing? What are we going to eat? There's just constant things going on. So I have a tendency to be on my phone. I'm making my grocery list. If I'm going to go to the store tomorrow, I need to make sure I have this, this, and that, or if we need to do this thing. And so it's in my mind, it's harmless. Like, we're, you know, Scott and I are having a conversation and I'm also working on tomorrow's agenda. It feels harmless, but what I've learned is that it's really just kind of rude and that he's not getting my eyes. He's not getting, that's one of the best nonverbal ways to say, I'm paying attention to you, is I'm looking you in the eyes and I'm nodding along. And so for me, I've noticed that has been, and he's brought it up before in the past, but that is not communicating my presence with him. And so that is something that I work on, is putting my phone down and just looking him in the eyes when we're having a conversation, even if it's just simple conversation, whatever it might be. And I know that sounds so silly, but I don't think I'm the only one who struggles to have their phone up doing other things while, you know, having a conversation with someone. So for me, I think that is the biggest thing, is just giving him my full attention, not my half attention.
No, I can relate to that 100%. And I think it's because our phones, you're right. We can create our grocery list on there. I can submit a grocery order on there. I can have my little running note on there with whatever I need to just put in there quickly. And so they take place, or I might be reading a book on my phone, on my Kindle. And it's just all these little things that our phone has replaced in our lives, like the notepad or the dry erase board or the book. Yeah, our eyes are on our phone. So I think there is just an element of always being on our phone that's it also feels maybe more offensive because it seems like we're always on it, which maybe we are, but there are multiple reasons behind that. So my husband and I have the same conversations.
Yeah. I think it's just, it's the nature of the beast right now that, you know, this is the playing field, if you will, and we've got to figure it out because it is, it has the potential to erode our relationships.
I'll be curious to see, I may cut this out, but I'll be curious to see in the coming years if, I mean, you see those Black Mirror episodes of that show, or at least I've heard about them, to where it's like everything is robotic and screens are everywhere. But I'm also wondering if people are going to get so sick of it that we just honestly go back to a more simple world. I don't know. It'll be curious.
Yes, I know. I know. I wonder if I think that all the time. I really do think the pendulum will swing a little bit. I feel like we've gotten to this one end or pretty high to that end. And I really do think it's going to swing back the other way at some point.
100%. All right. I want to hear how we can be more present in our friendships.
I think one of the best ways to be present in our friendships is to show up as yourself. And that is, I think that's harder than we think it is. And I think the older we get, especially in our 20s and 30s, I think we're still asking those age-old middle school questions of who am I and where do I belong? And so it's easy to start playing a role and thinking, oh, this is who I'm supposed to be. And this is how a person should be. And instead of just who I am. And so I think when we need to start practicing showing up as ourselves and choose, you know, and that starts with the right people. You know, there's some friends, I know that new friends that I tried showing up as me and, you know, they quickly were like, oh, I don't, you know, well, I don't do that. You know, there was a tone of judgment and it's like, okay, you're not safe. We'll say what I'm going to say to someone else that is safe. But I think if we can practice just showing up as ourselves and leaning into those friendships where you feel safe. Like for me, I make sure to have at least one moment a week with a friend, whether that's, you know, on a walk or a phone call or a lunch, whatever it might be. Even through COVID, it was so great to just have phone calls or, you know, once things opened up a little bit, you know, go on a weekly walk with my friend. Those moments, a friend that I could show up as myself with and talk through life and just be present in the moment with, that was a huge life-giving moment for me.
I absolutely agree. And I think what I've determined about all of that into my 30s is that I used to think I needed a ton of people to accept my just me as who I am. And I'm like, no, if I have a handful that I can be, two or three that I can be myself with, like my true self with, then that's enough. And I don't want to say that I'm not authentic with my more acquaintances or people that I don't connect with regularly. But I think there is just a, okay, well, I don't want to seem crazy on the one time I see you every 4 or 5 months, you know?
Right.
So, but if my cousin who hears me acting crazy every day on the phone, she's just like, oh, there's Diane again. So I think that you feel more comfortable in whoever it is that you are just with these people that we're connecting with. And it doesn't have to be, I don't know. Again, I think maybe social media can set us up for that because we're seeing people that have maybe been friends with the same group since high school. And that's not everyone's story.
Right. Absolutely. I think that's more rare than common to be that close to your high school friends. Yeah.
Yeah, I totally agree. Do you have any other advice on how to teach our children to be more present in the moment?
Well, it is hard when we are learning it ourselves, I feel like, as we go. But I feel like it's just going to take a lot of modeling and a lot of boundaries, which I'm not good at drawing boundaries. It's all new to me. But if we can practice going, this is when we are present. This is when, if we're going to continue the conversation of phones, you know, this is when we put our phones down. This is how we approach this. I think that is very helpful, you know, in regards to phones. I think there's an onboarding process as the kids get older, you know, to hold out and to recognize developmentally where kids are and then meet them where they are at. For middle school, they're going through a lot of cognitive pruning is what they call it, where they literally are just forgetting so much of what they already know, and because their brain is developing so fast. And so if we're just letting them fill that with all this other stuff, the things that aren't that important, then that's what their brain is going to remember, and it's going to prune off all this other stuff. And so I think that we just have to help teach them, be honest, have honest conversations, and then just help set boundaries. And that's not always easy because they don't always like the boundaries, and I don't like I don't like rocking the boat, but gosh, kids rock all the boats. So I do think it just is a process of modeling and setting boundaries.
Which is what we were talking about earlier too with well, I should say my example of that is my daughter will see me, even if I'm at a red light and I grab my phone really fast to send a text, she's like, "Mommy, you're not supposed to be on your phone when you're driving. Both of your hands are on the wheel." And I'm like, oh, she's really watching my every move these days. And I never want her on her phone when she's driving and she learns to drive. And she's barely 7 years old. So I think that, again, that was that mirror reflection of my behavior in her. And it's like, if I don't set boundaries around my phone, and again, I am the adult here, but I also think when she becomes a teenager, she would have a point. You always have your phone in your hand. Why can't I?
And correct.
Yeah. So that is, again, I think it is that holding up the mirror to ourselves, and we really are just humans raising other humans. And yes, yes, they are kids and we love them and we have a special bond with them, but it's also, we're just walking through this life together, you know?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, and it helps me when I think on that note of raising humans, when I think of the kind of human I want my girls to be when they are 30, mm-hmm. that helps me make a lot of different decisions in these younger years. Cause I think, and it helps me to let go of a lot of fear of going, okay, one day they're going to be 30. I'm going to keep the end in mind and we're going to be present and we're going to think through how to help them become that kind of person when they're 30.
Absolutely. Well, Sarah, this was a wonderful conversation and I can't wait to read your book and to have listeners read it as well. So where can they find you, connect with you and grab a copy of it?
Yes, you can find me. My website is sarahbragg.com. I send a monthly survival kit newsletter full of all the things that have helped me survive that month, like give you curated recommendations of what to read, what to watch, what to listen to. You can sign up for that there. And then my Instagram is Sarah W. Bragg. And of course, you can buy A Mother's Guide to Raising Herself just anywhere you like to buy books.
Perfect. Well, as we wrap up our conversation, I'm going to ask you the two questions that I ask every guest. And the first one is, what is something dear to you that you could never minimize?
Oh, that is such a hard question. When I knew you were going to ask this, and so I thought about it, and I thought about my engagement ring box. That is something, so here we are at 16 years, and it's broken. Like, it doesn't even actually, like, shut, like, you know, securely, but I still put my rings in it every single night and set them, you know, where in my closet or wherever. And I just love that box because it just means so much to me. And I would have never thought that if you hadn't asked that question and made me think a little bit about that, but I think that's what it is.
Yeah. I can't believe you still have the box and you take them off. I can't believe you haven't lost them by taking them, but I guess if you're in that box every night, then you know where they're
right. Right. It's like routine. I don't like sleeping in jewelry. And so it feels funny. And so I've just always taken it off. But yeah, it's that little box.
Yeah. All right. And then lastly, what is an area in your life that you would struggle to keep minimal?
Okay. I hate to even admit this, but I have over 1,000 emails on my phone that are unread.
Whoa. And
yeah. My husband literally he opened my phone yesterday and he was like, this is a problem. So I struggle to minimize my emails. Like, I don't know what it is. I send myself like so many emails too, like probably like half of those are from myself of reminders or like, think about this or, you know, and then they just sit there in my like inbox. So that's just something I need help with minimizing. That's a struggle.
I have I have a website for you. It's called unroll.me. And I don't know. I guess you'd have to give it permission to do this. So if you're not wanting that, then it's not.
Yeah.
I have that set up and it puts everything that you just click on from the list. It takes it all off. So you don't have to go to each individual thing and subscribe, or if there's things that you don't want to see, you can categorize it. So yes. That website has been really helpful to me, but
I know I need to go through. I think my biggest thing is just organizing, like if mm-hmm. so you want to keep these emails, like first of all, let's read them, make them unread, and then put them somewhere. But yeah. then I just get overwhelmed and go, oh, who has time to do that? Oh. But I know I need to.
No, I hear you. I hear you. Well, Sarah, this was a wonderful conversation. I hope that this helps moms as they're getting back into the school year and knowing what to prioritize and how to be more present with their children, because it really does go so fast. So mm-hmm. I just appreciate your time today.
Oh, thank you for having me and for having such a thoughtful conversation.
What did you think of the episode? Do you struggle feeling present in your day-to-day, whether it's in motherhood, in your marriage, or with friendships? Obviously, I'm sure most of us would answer yes to these questions, so you're not alone. Don't feel guilty. Just take little steps in getting to the point that you want to be that's realistic. I'd love to hear your story and your thoughts, so I invite you to keep the conversation going at minimalistmomspodcast.com. There you'll find links to the Instagram account, Facebook page, and where you can find me all around the web. Thank you for joining up on this journey. I wish you a lovely week as you think more and do with less.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.